From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 24th day of November, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the markets and what 2022 and 2023 might look like as it pertains to profits for corn with Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Jackie Vakes is out of the office today, so no update on the commodity market trade in Chicago. We will, however, take a look at the weather forecast for the growing areas around the planet with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And here our last in the Farm City series on the state of agriculture in Illinois, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today settled at 5.79¾. That was 0.75 cents lower. The March at 5.85½, down 2¾. And May futures $5.90, even 2¾ lower. January soybeans 12.66½, 6½ lower. The March down 7¼ at $12.77¼. Next year's November at 12.49¾, 3¾ cents lower. Bean meal futures off $4.60 at $3.57.60. Bean oil 80 cents higher at $60.94. Wheat futures soft red down 19¼ today at $8.36¾ in the lead December, and the hard red December at $8.73¼, 5½ cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby at $140.87½, $1.45 higher. Feeder cattle up 255 at $166.92½, and lean hogs $84.25, 97½ cents higher for the day. Crude oil at $78.36 a barrel, down 14 cents. Gasoline at $2.26½, that's a penny and 0.3 cents lower per gallon, and natural gas at $5.11¢, 8¢ higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 16,295, down 16 points. Gary Schnitke now joins us to talk about the cost of production for corn and whether that might decrease in the 2022 crop year. I know this is a big issue that many people have been talking about for a long time. It has to do somewhat with inflation. What are the reasons that inflation is impacting corn production?
Yeah, so as we're looking around, we're seeing price inflation happening all over. And obviously that's also impacting agriculture and the cost of producing both corn and soybeans. But COVID did impact supply chains, and that has caused essential parts to not be available. One of those is chips for cars and tractors. We've had all sorts of fiscal stimulus, both under President Trump, the checks, and then President Biden's Make America Better Again program. So both of those have been fiscal stimulus. We've had very accommodative monetary policy that the bond buying program could be viewed as inflationary. And the probably a big reason that that everybody knows about is COVID really has reduced the labor supply. Everybody's short of employees, that's likely to continue into the foreseeable future.
So altogether, these as inflationary pressures, are they transitory, and does that make much of a difference if inflation stays and then goes away?
Yeah, and it does make a big difference, and there's a lot of concern on that, and opinions one way or other. The supply bottlenecks, the chips, the shipping problems in Long Beach, et cetera, are transitory, and we will eventually get through those. Probably not before planting time this spring, but hopefully by planting time in 2023. So that part of inflation is transitory. However, you know, the labor situation likely will not be transitory, and we just saw Deer have a strike and gave, as one of the capitulations to workers, gave a cost of inflation increase provision in that new contract. So we're seeing those built into labor cost already, and that's going to have the impact of raising labor and all costs as we move through time. So part of that isn't.
If you think about inflation over time, is there a series that we can look back historically to give us some idea of how some of the inputs have moved along with inflation and the cost of production?
Yeah, so the big one is the consumer price index. There's a lot of different inflation series. One that most people look at, and you'll see it mentioned a lot, is the consumer price index. That happened to hit over 6% here in October. That is the highest level that it has been since, it exceeded that, which happened in 2008, right during the financial crisis. Inflation and farm inputs don't track each other all that closely. For example, fertilizer moves up and down more with corn price and natural gas prices than it does with inflation. And inflation doesn't really have a large impact on either natural gas or corn prices. Seed prices are also impacted by corn price as well, as they've just steadily increased over time. And another major input, pesticides, has just been going up in recent years, likely because of glyphosate-resistant weeds and also because of the increased reliance on fungicides in recent years, and that becoming an important input.
And can you draw any conclusions?
So if we're looking at this, and you're going to see record levels of cost in 2022. In 2023, we can see a reduction in cost. Most of that is likely to come in fertilizer. If we have any input that goes down, it will be fertilizer. And the other thing about cost is they go up faster than they come down. So even if they do come down, if history is correct, or if history repeats itself, we have reached a new higher cost level, and that means we have to have a higher break-even corn price, something in the 450 range right now, to just break even on corn production, and that's very different than what it has been in the past.
However, it would track with the 450 price that the University of Illinois and the agricultural economists have been using as the midpoint for corn for some time, meaning that profits have been better than average for a while now.
Yeah, we've had good profits in 2020, likely to have record incomes in 2021. And if prices hold, and that's a big if, right? If prices hold, 2022 will be probably slightly above average year. But if we get $4.50 corn and $11 soybeans, we're below average incomes. So that's sort of we've had a good couple years, could have another good year in 2022, but we are playing at a higher cost level.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You may read more from him each and every Tuesday on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And on that same website, you can find a way to register for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. They start on Monday, November the 29th, and run Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then the following week on Monday and Friday, all at 11 a.m. Registration is free. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits coming up starting on Monday the 29th. Get yourself registered at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu today. It's National Farm City Week from now through Thanksgiving, and University of Illinois Extension is celebrating the link between the rural and urban areas. Today, we'll explore the state of agriculture with Assistant Dean for Agriculture and Agribusiness at University of Illinois Extension, Travis Burke. We'll start by exploring with him the impact agriculture has on our lives every day.
Well, agriculture plays a big role in our daily lives. Most people take it for granted. And I think if we've learned anything from the pandemic, we've learned that lots of things like, for example, hand sanitizer, toilet paper, basic rice and grains and things that we use daily for consumption, as well as items that we use around the home, we can see how just having a short supply of it and demand and not being able to get to those products can make life difficult for the average consumer. And a lot of things that we use, for example, I think during the week you've heard from one of our extension educators, Philip Alberti, who talked about hemp, and most people don't realize that that is one of the agricultural products that is can be used for getting fiber. So there's lots of things that are available that the basic consumer may not be aware that comes from an agricultural product, but you'd be hard pressed to go a day without having some type of ag-related product in and around your home, whether you're consuming it or whether it's somewhere around the home.
As you mentioned from Philip Alberti, hemp, which is an old but renewed crop potential in the United States and certainly in Illinois, I'm wondering if you've thought very much about the future of the agricultural economy from the academic site, where the kinds of research that Philip and others have been doing takes place, and what it means for the future of the farm economy.
Yeah, the farm economy, I think right now, in a lot of ways, is at the turning point. And I think as things unfold, not only with hemp, but lots of other things that affect the economy, such as lots of thought has gone into soil health. And what I mean by that is like regenerative types of agricultural farm production, because this is something that is not new, that many people have been doing over the years, over centuries, but there's been a really strong focus in thinking of ways we can really enhance our soil health, whether it's coming up with alternative crops or coming up with specialty crops, or looking at new ways that we can produce things, or if you could say old and traditional ways that we can go in and provide some health options for our farmland, such as cover crops, for example. This is a simple practice that farmers may or may not use, but this is just one way to regenerate or restore the soil and the highly fertile soils for that, as it may, how regenerating the soil just through a cover crop. You can ride and see some fields that maybe don't have a cover crop, which is that term means just overseeding with a different crop. Rather than a particular crop that you'll find out here, like corn or soybeans over the winter, which adds nutrients and health back to the soil. So lots of things in regenerating the soil. And another thing in the future, I think having Chicago and the suburbs and the importance of population and people wanting to produce their own agricultural products. So urban agriculture is another one of those areas that are critical down the road, particularly as we look at how the farm and the city together can work and collaborate and work in harmony to see that everyone ultimately wants a safe agricultural and food product that they can use in their homes.
The Farm City Week, which has been celebrated, I think, since, 1955, we have not focused on often in the state of Illinois. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself in terms of your background and why this is important to you?
Okay, well, you know, I'm from the South. I'm from North Carolina. And, we basically, over the years, have really found it important to let people know and to create some awareness of the importance of agriculture in our daily lives. And so having been raised on a farm, growing up in a row crop farm similar to in North Carolina to what we have here in Illinois with corn, soybeans, and row crops, agriculture is very important. And particularly, as we talked about at the outset, things that we eat, things that we use around the home, And so Farm City Week is an important way that we can show people that it is something that we take for granted. And this Farm City Week is just a way to celebrate the importance of agriculture and the agriculture economy in our daily lives. And this is something that here in Illinois, with agriculture being over a $16 billion industry, I think it's important to the citizens here in our state to know that agriculture does affect us every day. So I think that Farm City Week is very, very important for us as consumers and residents here, and that we need to spread the word, particularly during a time of Thanksgiving when we should be thankful for all those things that we take for granted.
That was Travis Burke. He's an assistant dean for agriculture and agribusiness at University of Illinois Extension. We've been celebrating National Farm City Week, highlighting some of the ways Extension is woven into the social and educational fabric, connecting rural and urban areas of America. On this Wednesday afternoon, we're now joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. If you've been watching the marketplace for a while, and we'll take this up during Commodity Week in greater depth, but because we don't have an analyst today, I want to talk a little bit about what the market has been doing. Of course, wheat has faded some during the day, a bit more than some, and it seems like this is a very important space where wheat has been leading the market higher as it's been watching the wheat crops all across the planet. Of course, wheat now is in the process in the southern hemisphere, and Drew's going to take us through, I hope, Drew, some of those wheat-growing regions that are actually in the middle of harvest, Australia to begin with, and then we'll move across the planet to Argentina. So what do we know about the wheat crop in Australia?
Well, as of just in the past week, there's been a number of areas that are talking about downgrading wheat quality. It started in Queensland. That's not a very important wheat production area, but still that's where some initial trouble started earlier this month. Now we are focusing on the heart of New South Wales' key crop area. And New South Wales and Western Australia really produce the majority of the winter crops. And we're talking about maybe 30% of the crop is vulnerable to a downgrade. I'm coming up with that figure because I know that some harvesting is already done, but still a third of the crop, that's a lot. And so we need to kind of keep an eye on it. It has been raining fairly often over the past 10 days. We are in a stretch right now that I think we're now on day six, I think it is, of having rain in a part of New South Wales. And the rain is supposed to be heaviest yet today. And then we'll start to see a decline in the precipitation as we get out towards Friday. And then from Friday all the way through the middle of next week, there's going to be daily scattered showers in these same areas. It's just not going to be a steady rain like we have right now. So we're talking, you know, another full week before there's going to be a notable break in the weather for Australia's at least number two producing state. And that's going to be really important. Western Australia is in much better shape, and they really don't have much to complain about. They've got a good crop. And remember, most of Australia is, before this rain came on, was looking at a number two crop. In other words, second to last year's record crop. And so there is a large amount of wheat and barley, even canola out there that is vulnerable to this wet bias. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm certainly of the opinion that some of the market action we've seen here recently is because of the concern about Australia, because we're losing another potential production area for high quality wheat. And we're just going to continue to keep that high quality wheat bin awful low if we have trouble in Australia.
And in Argentina, how's the crop there?
Now, that's a little different story. They've seen some really well-timed rain. They were a little dry early on, but during reproduction in the most important production areas, they've done all right. And we are in the process of filling a lot of the crop. There's some that's still reproducing. So as we go forward through these next couple of weeks, it's still fairly critical. But I see timely rain occurring across their major production areas. This past week, the ground firmed up a lot. They had some temperatures in the 90s and no rain, and so it did get pretty dry, but their subsoil moisture was sufficient to carry on the reproductive and filling processes. And now we're going to get some rain here, I believe, today and tomorrow in Argentina, and then we're going to take a short-term break and get one more opportunity over the weekend, Saturday into Sunday. And then it goes dry again. But there should be enough moisture to push them on to the finish line without suffering any big threats. So I think Argentina is going to come out doing fairly well.
Anything in the Northern Hemisphere you want to point us to?
Well, there's a couple of things I want to point out. First of all, the temperatures in the U.S. are now cold enough that the winter crops are dormant or semi-dormant in the northwestern plains. That means Montana. South Dakota is moving in that same direction. Even Nebraska is starting to cool down enough that the crop development is pretty minimal. And then the Pacific Northwest. Well, we've got some very poorly established wheat in Oregon and in Montana. And both those states are going to end up coming up with a little bit of a shortage in production unless some miraculous occurrence that takes place in the spring. And then, of course, we've got the Texas Panhandle into eastern Colorado, which is also running low on moisture, and the crop conditions are not that great there. And it will continue to be a closely watched area as we go forward through the winter. I do think that they're going to continue to see below average precipitation through the heart of winter. And then I want to take a quick second, if I may, and talk about Russia real quick. Russia's winter crops were adequately established. I don't think there's any big issue there. Both Russia's key production area and Ukraine got their crops in the ground, and they're okay. They're not in the best shape, but they're not really, you know, they're not facing a disaster at the moment. But there's a correlation with years in which we have two La Nina events that occur back-to-back that occur after the solar minimum, that there's a tendency for wheat production areas in Russia to have dryness problems. We saw this last year in their spring wheat production area and also in northern Kazakhstan. Both that that southern part of Russia's spring wheat country and northern Kazakhstan had some very definite dryness issues. That could be repeated in 2022. Just based on the solar cycle and the fact that we've got La Nina that should be winding down in the first or second quarter of next year. So I would, even though the crops are okay established, the winter crops there, I wouldn't turn my back on Russia. I think I would keep a close eye on them in the spring. There could be another shoe to drop there.
Hey, thank you, and you have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too. Take care.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Helped us to wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The markets are closed tomorrow, but we'll be open on Friday, though. I'll have the day off. We'll have our Commodity Week program early on that day. It'll come up at the top of the hour, 2 o'clock straight up.